John. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a beautiful song about mercy. Appreciate that. Well, it is our stewardship month, February, and for some people that have issues with giving, it's sometimes a hard month to sit and listen about giving. To others who give, it's a good month. But to many, and I hope to all, it'll be a blessed time, because our goal is to help each and every one of us be better Christians. Help all of us to find this abundant life. You know, Jesus said that when he came to give us life more abundant. He said, I don't want you to just live. I want you to live a good life. I don't want you to just eke out an existence. You know, sometimes Christians will say, well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. Just hanging on. I don't think that's the way God intended us, just to hang on till he gets back, till he comes back. I think he designed us so that we can enjoy life, so that we can enjoy him, so that we can take blessings and get blessed. We could be a blessing, so we can be a conduit of God's blessings in our life, that we could both receive so that we might give, and give so that we might receive. So this morning, I want to start us off by looking at a great principle found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 6. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Man, that doesn't look right. 2 Corinthians. It's one of those Corinthians. I know it's not 3 Corinthians. How many have ever read? Anybody ever read 3 Corinthians? A couple of you raised your hand. I'm worried about you. Kind of goes along with the Old Testament book of Hezekiah. How many's read Hezekiah? Anybody? One? Okay, God bless you. You in second now? Good, amen. Thank you. Verse number 6. Thank you, brother. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, and you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, the righteousness remaineth forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for an opportunity to talk about giving. And it goes much more than dropping an offering envelope in a plate. It goes beyond just saying, yes, we'll do it because we're supposed to do it. But I hope that we see the value, the blessing, the purpose of giving. I hope, Lord, you'll show us how that not only behooves others when we give, but it ultimately behooves us. And though we don't want to be selfish and do things just for ourselves, we do realize that you do give back more than what we ever could give. And we thank you, Lord, that throughout the years of our church, that we've seen many give, and we've seen, Lord, you give back much more. Many could give testimonies this morning of your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a good God who loves us and wants us to live an abundant life. Help us to live it now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Abundant living. Live beyond just the average, the status quo, just the norm. But to find a life that every day it's a good day. Every day you're kind of excited to see what God's going to do. You're kind of interested to see how is God going to work things out. You know, it's a good life when you do the things that God calls you to do. When you obey Him, good things always happen. When you follow His will, everything always works out. When you walk in the steps that He has designed and created you to walk in, you live the abundant life. It's only when we step outside of the will of God that the abundant life disappears. When we disobey direct biblical principles, that we live frustrated and empty. When we choose to do our own thing rather than God's thing, do we find ourselves to be a person that is always searching for more and never content? And I believe this morning that if you'll listen and look at these scriptures that we've taught and preached on many times before, but if you'll open up, once again, your heart and your mind and ask yourself some questions, you know, what type of life am I living? What type of person am I? Is God's hand upon me? Do I see the abundance that God wants to give me? And I guarantee you, you know, today, that if you will do the biblical principles, that they will always work out. Always work out. Because God is not a liar. He doesn't write things in the Bible just to entice us and then change us later on. God's Word never changes. God's Word goes from everlasting to everlasting. And if you look at the Word of God today and you'll hold on to these principles and say, Lord, this is what You say, so I'm just going to obey You, you're going to find an abundant life. You're going to find a life that's filled with blessings from God. And so hopefully, prayerfully, we'll look at some things today in the weeks ahead that if you apply to your life, you'll come back at the end of the month and say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it. I want to be faithful. And you're going to see God do something special in your life. There are some that struggle with giving. Usually people that don't have anything struggle with giving. It's hard to give what you don't have. I had people tell me that, you know, Pastor, if I had enough, I would give. I just don't have enough. And I understand. I mean, things are tight. There's nobody, I don't think, that's extremely rich amongst any of us here today. And I think that that God understands, you know, your needs better than you understand your needs. And God understands your finances better than you understand your finances. But if today, if you'll take this promise that we're about to discuss and take it seriously and soberly, you'll see God do something in your life that you'll be pleased with when the final outcome comes. Let's look at the background of this writing, 2 Corinthians. Paul was writing the Corinthian people. We have covered 1 Corinthians in our Sunday school class, and we see that the Corinthian people were not a spiritual group of people. Paul had to correct them. He called them carnal, called them babies. They had all kinds of issues going on in their lives. And one of the problems that the church had was when Paul had visited the church earlier, not only did he establish a church there, but he challenged the people to give. What was going on is that you had Christian believers in Jerusalem. Remember, after the day of Pentecost, all these people flood into Jerusalem. Day of Pentecost happens, thousands of people get saved, and Christianity, in essence, is born there, and the church is born. And now, a lot of people stayed in Jerusalem. And what happened is that you have all these people now that are kind of excited about this new Christian way and fellowshipping and kind of staying where it all started in Jerusalem, that you have a lot of people that end up not having much. And so people like Barnabas went and sold his properties, and other people, Ananias and Sapphira, sold and gave half. You know, so there was kind of this wave of generosity to help these poor people. Deacons were elected to feed the poor and to help the widows and the needy. And so you have this real sense of community amongst the Christians in the early days. But what happened is that the believers in Jerusalem became very poor and destitute and needed financial help. And so Paul goes and sends word to the churches he had established, in essence, in a plea for offerings. And so he went to the church at Corinth and then other churches and told them the plight of the early church in Jerusalem. And so the Corinthians jumped on board and said, hey, we're going to give. And they were excited about it. You know how you are sometimes. You hear a missionary gets up and tells you about a project. Man, you're all gung-ho. Yeah, I'm going to give to it, you know. Or the pastor gets up and talks about a Thanksgiving offering. Yeah, I'm going to give to it. Or, you know, something comes up and you really want to give to it, but then you don't give immediately. And so what happens? You kind of start it kind of wanes, and you're not as excited about it after a while, and sometimes you forget about it. And so what happened is that the church of Corinth had promised to give, but they hadn't given yet. And Paul's waiting, when are you going to give? So he uses an example of other churches in Macedonia, and he said, look, you got some other churches in Macedonia that had less than you did. Corinth was a very affluent area. It was a very big area filled with a lot of richer people. And he's pointed to some poor areas. And he said, you know, churches in Macedonia that gave in their poverty above what they could give, and you that have, you haven't done anything. You know, you look at the churches in America, I think the churches in America are definitely the richest churches in the world, because America is a rich country. That's why people want to come here. It's a land where they can find prosperity and they can have the dream. And so our churches here in America really are the ones that fund a lot of missionary work that goes on. And rightly so. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. Is that not a biblical principle? And God gives it to us, and God has blessed America, and God has blessed American Christians, so that we can be one of the sources in which the gospel and the word of God can spread throughout the world. And so that's a blessing that we have. And yet many times we take what God has given us and we keep it and we hoard it, and it's ours, and we don't want to get it out of our own coffers. And in doing so, we really have not been good stewards of what God has blessed us with. And so the church now is challenged. And he says, look, the Macedonians gave. They're poorer than you. And I sent out the word, and you haven't given yet. And so now Paul gives them one final plea about giving. And it's a personal plea. And he starts by saying, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Today I want to talk to you about that verse there, about living the abundant life means to sow bountifully, to sow bountifully, to sow a lot. Now, what Paul is saying to the church is simply this. It's a principle. The principle found in verse number 6 is this. It's the law of the harvest. The sowing and reaping principle. And he's encouraging them for their own sakes. If you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. But church, if you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. So you choose what you're going to sow. You choose what you reap. Now, those who have planted, those who've worked on farms, those who've planted gardens, those who have tried to plant anything, flowers in your backyard, you understand a little bit about that principle, don't you? And so, how much do you want? You know, if you're planting a few trees or a few shrubs or a few flowers and you just put a few seeds down, you're expecting just a few. But if you want a whole backyard of a garden area or vegetables or whatever that is, then what do? You sow a lot more. It just depends on what do you want. And he's challenging the people this. What do you want? If you give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit. But if you give a lot, you get back a lot. So you make the choice. So you give a little bit, the person gets only a little bit, and you get a little bit back. You give a lot, the church at Jerusalem gets a lot, and you get a lot back. Seems like a pretty simple principle, doesn't it? Seems like a no-brainer. You know, what do you want? Do you want just a little? Do you want a lot? What where are you at in life? And so it's the principle of the harvest. Now, when you plant seeds, they don't come up the next day, do they? Unless you have some miracle grow, you know, you get on QVC or Home Shopping Club or something, you know. I mean, you plant the seeds and you don't go out there the next day and say, ah, those were bad seeds, man. Nothing came up. I'm taking them back to Walmart. They're bad seeds. A couple days go by. I don't know what's wrong with these seeds. They're not growing. Dig them back up, throw them away. No, you wait. You know it's going to take time. It might take weeks. It might take months. And a farmer plants the crops in the spring, but he doesn't harvest until the fall. So he waits months and months for the seed to germinate, for the seed to grow, for the fruit to grow, for it to ripen and be ready to harvest. It's a long process. And sometimes what we fail to realize is that when we give, it's a long process before the harvest comes. And so don't be discouraged because you start tithing this week and next week all of a sudden you don't get a pay raise. And you give to somebody that has a need, but 2 days later you didn't get back yet the money that you gave. It's a lot of a harvest that it takes a while for the investment to return. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes, cast your bread out in water, many days it'll come back to you. It's going to take a while to get back. And so the law of the harvest. And so we tithe and we give, and then all of a sudden the bills come and we start to wring our hands. Oh no. I tithe last week, I gave. And the bills come and the car breaks down and the heater goes out and our cable bill is due. You know, the important things in life. What are we going to do? And we start to get nervous. Oh, man, if I just would have held on to that money, maybe I'll contact the pastor and see if they cash my check. Because I didn't know this stuff was going to happen. And all of a sudden now it becomes a trust factor. Could I trust God with my money? The one that I gave the money to, is he going to forget that I gave this money? The one that I shared it with, you know, is God keeping score? Is he keeping a record? What kind of accountant is he? And so we start to get a little nervous because the seeds were planted, but yet the harvest didn't come yet. It's called living by faith. It's not a bad thing, by the way. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Living by faith. By the way, isn't that how you got saved? You got saved by faith, not by works. And we walk by faith, and we live by faith, and we give by faith. It's all faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're hoping to see the harvest. We haven't seen it yet. And so we sow, knowing that we'll reap someday. Then harvest time does come. And it comes. And you go out and you look and you say, wait a minute, there's only a little bit of harvest. What happened? And then you say, oh yeah, I only planted a little bit. Because whatever you planted, that's what you're going to reap. If you gave sparingly, don't expect bountiful reaping. If you gave bountifully, expect bountiful reaping then. It's the principle. And so, with a little bit of planting comes a little bit of return. With a lot of planting comes more return. Luke 6, verse 38 tells us, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. For with the same measure, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. According to that verse, it says, when you give, God gives it back, and it's even more. Because whatever you gave, it comes back, but yet it's running over now. Yes, sir. That sounds like a nice harvest, doesn't it? Now, So when you give to church, when you give to others, when you give to missions, when you help the poor, when you help a brother in need, God always pays back more than what you gave. The harvest always returns. And so God is not going to be a cheapskate. God's not going to take your investment and give you less return. And so it's a step of faith. Now, here's two issues with this. Issue number one, where people still struggle with giving and the whole thing of sowing, is extreme teaching by a group of, to be honest, preachers. Some of them on TV, some of them on the radio, some nationally known. Prosperity preachers. Yes. Sow $1,000 seed. Now that means just give it to me. And you'll get back much more. And some guys, you know, they make a nice living off of that. You know, they're not taking that money. They're not. Now they'll tell you, well, we're going to help. We're going to dig a couple wells or feed some poor people in Africa, or you know, build some housing for people in the third world country or something like that. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of that's just coming into their ministry, and you know, they're living a pretty nice lifestyle. And so, people, the outside world looks at Christians like we're crazy at times. And they say, look at these Christians are giving to these people on TV. They're just getting their. I mean, they figured it out. We haven't figured it out. You know, they figured it out. And so here's a little old lady. You know, she got a little Social Security check in. Okay, I'm going to write, you know, brother so-and-so $500, and he promised I'm going to get back $1,000. And so you got these scam artists that are messing up a true biblical principle. And it's a shame, because then people just throw the whole principle away. They say, that's extreme teaching. It's crazy. It's nonsense. It's prosperity. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe that God prospers those who give it. And so, and I'm not the type of guy that, you know, will promise you X amount of money if you give, like those guys do. And so here you got a person that gives, and every day they're waiting by the mailbox. They're waiting for the mailman. They're waiting for the check to come in. Because they heard some testimonies on TV by people who were waiting by the mailbox and a check came in. And they're calling the post office. Now, you got any? Was there a problem? I didn't get my money in. My money didn't come. And so people get turned off by that, and they kind of say, this whole nonsense of sowing and reaping, and it's just a bunch of get-rich schemes by these preachers on TV, and so we're not gonna get involved in that. And so they miss the principle completely. The second reason people struggle with that is because they simply have a lack of faith. Can you trust God? Can you believe God? If you say, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give the missions, and you say, I don't know how I can do it, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't add up, I know what my bills are, I know what I need to have, it doesn't make sense. Can I trust God is a question. Can I trust God? And people struggle with this because it's hard sometimes. Will God hold up his end of the bargain? Will he forget about me? Will he, you know, does he know what my needs are? Am I going to be left hanging if I make commitments? Because I know I got to commit to tithe, I got to commit to missions, I got to make commitments to people that are in need. And if I make all these commitments, will God be faithful to me? And it's a matter of, can you trust God? Well, it's a good question. Now, we say we can trust God, and it's easy to verbalize that, but it's harder to put money in and back up what we believe. Can you trust God? Will God hold up his end of the bargain? Once again, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's a biblical promise. Mark it down. God will do it. And so can you trust God? You just got to say, Lord, that's what your word said. So, Lord, I could give a little bit or I could give a lot. So let me just stretch it and give a lot and get it over with. And because I know whatever, if it's a dollar, a thousand, whatever it is in between, I know that it's going to come back to that same proportion. So why not go for the big side, right? Why not see the big harvest? Why not get more blessings? Why say, oh, I just want a little bit of blessings? I don't want too many. I can't handle too many blessings. Now, I'm not out there, you know, trying to make you say, well, boy, I'm going to really get rich if I do this. It's not about greed. It's not about covetousness. It's about living by faith, doing God's will, giving as God leads you, doing it the right way, and then watch as God does the rest. We're not trying to come up with some Ponzi scheme or scam or something, you know, where we're trying to, get your money and get somebody else and then take it from somebody else. It's not about that. It's about living a life that says, you know what, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give my missions, I'm going to help people in need, and then however I give, I know there's a biblical principle that says no matter what I give out, somehow God's going to work it all out for me. And I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to live by faith. That's the abundant living. Secondly, let's look at the explanation. We saw the principle. Let's look at the explanation. Look at verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Several things about this verse. Number one, it should be personal. It should be personal. Every man. Didn't say the whole church. It just says what? Every person should be personal. Every man as he purposes. Between you and God. You know, Jesus talked about the right hand not knowing what the left hand gives. Did you ever try that, by the way? Somehow my left hand always knows what my right hand gives. I haven't figured that biblical principle out. Well, what I think he's saying is that it's between you and you alone, you know. And so whatever you give, it's not about making a great... Remember that Jesus talked about the Pharisees, how they gave? They'd come into the congregation and they'd blow the trumpets. Could you imagine if we had offering time and a couple guys got up and... I'm giving my tithe and my offerings. And this is how much I'm giving. Could you imagine that? That's what was going on. And so it wasn't a thing of boasting. It wasn't a thing of trying to make people feel that you're a great Christian. It just simply means let every man, whatever God lays on your heart. Now, we'll talk about tithing in the weeks ahead and the principles and the 10% and why and things like that. But you know, that's just a beginning point, because many times God lays upon your heart to do even more than the minimum. And sometimes God wants to stretch your faith and see if you will give more than what you are even required to give. So every man also has to be deliberate. Deliberate. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He decided this is what God wants me to do. Now, I've been in meetings like this, you've probably been too, where there's an emotional appeal given. Somebody gets up, tells a tremendous story, a sad story. It just tugs at your heartstrings, and man, you're ready to write a check. You're ready to pull out your wallet. You know, what can I do? And what happened is it was an emotional appeal, and I'm not against those things, and I'm not saying it's wrong or bad, but we've all been there sometimes when it's not something that you necessarily purposed, but you were emotionally, it just you know, you didn't know the whole situation yet. So you hurry up and give. But this is talking about when you give on a regular basis, that you do it deliberately and you decide in your heart. Now, at the end of February, first of March, we're going to have a missions conference, and we're going to ask you to be praying about it this month, about your giving and about your missions. And so when that time comes to make commitment, it's not based on how good the speaker was during the missions conference. Because to be quite honest, some are better than others. So it's not about that. It's about what did you purpose in your heart already? What does God want you to do? And you decided already, and you made a commitment, and you marked down that commitment, and you said, you know, this is what I believe God wants me to do this year for my giving and for my missions. And certainly that can change throughout the year. God can increase it, whatever. You might lose a job. Things are going to change. We understand that. But what it's saying is that let every man as you purpose in your heart. And so the farmer, when he took the seed to go sow, he already knew, I'm buying so much seed, so many bags of seed. I'm going to buy. And he already knows how much he's planting. So when harvest time comes, it's no surprise. He knows what he's planting. He's already purposed. He knows what size his field is. He knows how much crops he wants and needs. And so he's already figured it out. And that's what God says, figure it out. Don't come. Every Sunday, you shouldn't be like, let me see what's in my wallet. All right, here's a 20. Let me just throw that in. Can you imagine paying your bills like that? Oh, okay, what do I have to get? Okay, here's all I have. Do you not set up a budget? Well, good, I'm glad one person does. But do you not, the rest of you ever set up a budget? So you figure out, okay, I live in this place, all right? This is my mortgage or this is my rent, so guess what? This gets set aside. We understand it, right? My insurance, gas, clothing, food, school bills. You purpose it, don't you? So you're not surprised. You go, oh my, I didn't know the mortgage was due this month. Oh, you mean Delmarva Harvard once paid for all that heat that I've been using? I didn't know. I thought it was free this month. No, in every other area of our life, we figured it out, don't we? You know how much bills are coming in. You know how much car insurance is. You know how much gas goes up and down. But, you know, you've pretty much figured it out. When it comes to giving, shouldn't we figure it out? Shouldn't we kind of already know? Shouldn't we have an idea what we're doing? Shouldn't we already purpose that in our mind, in our budget, in our thought process? And so it's not whatever I got left over. Try that with your credit card. Try that with the bank someday, your mortgage company. Well, I didn't have enough. I'm going to pay you last. I only had a couple dollars left, so you understand, right? Please don't take my house away. Try that with your car. Oh, I didn't have enough. Somebody in the middle of the night, where'd have my car? I don't know, some tow truck just took it away. But I told him it's all I had. I didn't. You see, in life we know how to live, but when it comes to things of God, we don't know how to live. In life, we figured it all out because we're held accountable, but there's no big person that's saying, did you tithe? Did you give the missions? This is how much you owe. Here's your bill. Phone call. By the way, collection agency, you didn't tithe the Congregate Baptist Church. We're calling you up. And so we figure life things out, but yet when it comes to the things of God, we're clueless most of the time. And then we wonder why, you know, I really didn't reap a lot. Well, because why? You didn't sow a lot. Because you just kind of sowed what was left over. And so, it must be delivered. Many years ago, I learned the principle of tithing. I came from a church where nobody tithed, you just gave a dollar. You gave a dollar every Sunday. Dollar, 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 dollar. How much you give for the year? $52. It was really easy. Every year. You didn't even need a return. $52, that was it. And I got saved. They started talking about tithing. I didn't even know what the word tithe meant. I thought I was talking about something like the tithes, because the church was all, you know, the guys start wearing tithes. I was like, what? Color tithe? 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 Yeah, so, oh, a tithe, one tenth, okay. Tenth? Okay. Remember the first time I tithe, I thought, wow. That's a lot of money. I was working at McDonald's for 1 week. I don't know what my check was, but I only worked for 1 week. One of the worst weeks of my life. But anyhow. I remember thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. I said, I'm just going to do it. Guess what? I survived. The next job, just did it. I survived. I've been doing it ever since. I got introduced to missions, a local church I worked in many years ago. Faith Promise Missions. You mean I got to give more above the tithe? Man, I'm already giving a tenth. Now I got to give even more above that? So I start, and next year, you want me to increase that? Yeah. And then next year, increase that? Yeah. Next year, increase that? Yeah. So like for 30-some years, yes. You just keep increasing. Next thing you know, man, you start giving some money. And what happens is that all of a sudden now, you've already have that purpose. You've got it planned. So it's not a sticker shock. It's what you're doing as part of the will of God. And then notice it needs to be free will. Let every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth. God loves a cheerful. Now, he loves everybody, but he really loves a cheerful giver. Can you imagine giving your child a present? And you say, now, son, I want to let you know I worked hard, and I hate to give this to you because there's a lot of things I could be buying with this money. And I want you to know that I'm not happy about giving you this gift, but I have to because I'm your dad. It's your birthday. And I'd rather have bought a fishing pole with this. I'm going to go ahead and buy this to you and give it to you, and I hope you like it, but, you know, if I had my druthers, I wouldn't give it to you. Happy birthday, son. What kind of weird dad do you have? You know, you're like, you can't even be happy you gave me a gift. Sorry, Dad, just take the money. Go buy your fishing rod. Anyway, I'm going to give this to you, Lord. I don't like it. I don't want to, but the preacher keeps telling me about it. And you know, I feel embarrassed when they're passing the plate and I got nothing to slip in the plate. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't know. You think God enjoys that type of giving? But son, here, I want you, man, I'm so excited. I got a gift for you, man. This is great. I saved up and I worked overtime and I could have bought, but you know what? I want you to have this because I love you and you're my son and you're the best. And I can't wait till you open this up and you're going to enjoy this gift. Well, now that kid, you know, that's good giving, isn't it now? And if we say, Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do, and some soul's going to get saved, some soul's going to get saved through the ministry of our church, and missionaries are seeing people get saved, and buildings are being built, and ministries are started, and tracks are being bought to be sent out, and buses are going out and picking kids up, and material is being bought to help people in RU. And man, I'm excited to see what God's going to do with what I give. That's giving cheerfully. So, it's more than you give. It's not, well, it's, wow, it's great, man. I get to be a part of God's work. I get to help fund the greatest work in the world, the greatest cause in the world. Now, you give to cancer research, and you give to heart research, and you give to whatever, and those are all fine, but the greatest work, the greatest contribution is the salvation of souls. The greatest thing we can do is see people saved and lives changed. And when we give, we are making an investment, not in something to help scientists come up with something that just prolongs somebody's life a little bit longer. We're giving to something that prolongs someone's life forever. We have to look at it like that. I get to give for things that are going to count for all eternity. And so we're not to give grudgingly. We're to give willingly. Free will. Sometimes as we sit there and the offering plate is being passed, our favorite song goes in our mind, I shall not be moved. we got our wallet, our purse. And give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in the Greek literally means hilarious. That doesn't mean we got to bust a gut laughing while we're giving. Else we're going to think you drank something before you came to church. But it's talking about you have an inward joy, an inward spirit within that I get to give, and I get to do it right. I love to tell the story. I tell it on me every year, so I keep my tradition. The little boy went to Sunday school. His mom gave him a quarter and a dollar. After he came back from Sunday school, his mom said, "What did you give to the Lord today?" And he said, "Well, I know what the Bible says. The Lord giveth, the Lord loveth the cheerful giver. So I gave the quarter because I'm more happy with the dollar I got to keep." He didn't understand that principle. We got our giving statements recently and got to look at it. And I was happy. I said, "Wow, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. It's cheerfully, not, wow, I could have bought a lot of things with that money. I could have bought a lot of things in my life." But I look at it like, wow, this is great. This is for God's work and God's ministry, and God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to notice, as we look at the last aspect, look at verse number 8. "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Now, I'm sorry, we skipped verse 8. Let me go back to verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, what he's saying is that as you give, what happens? God's grace now kicks in. And God's grace abounds towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Meaning, quite simply this, that if you have a willing heart, God will make it all sufficient to whatever you have, so that you can meet the needs that God lays on your heart. In essence, what he's saying is that I'll meet your needs so that you can meet the needs of others. All sufficiency. And so God is able to make all grace abound to you, have all sufficiency, so that you can do every good work that you want. And so giving is a good work. God said, I'll make you have sufficiency. And so, kind of summarize it, God, what does he do? He supplies grace. And we're made self-sufficient, and we have abundance to share with others. So the bottom line is, if you want to give, you can. Some people are saying, "No, when I get a job, I can." No, God says, "I can make you a giver now." Some say, "When I get the right number and win the lotto, then I'll really be a good giver." And the truth is it, first off, that's an industry that you know, that is not God's design to make you rich. You understand that? It's built on covetousness and it's built on greed. And so with that, there's a lot of silence in the room. But anyhow, you're putting away your tickets, I know. But the truth of the matter is, some say, if I can just somehow get a lot of money sometime, then I'll really be able. And so what you're saying is that, God, make me a millionaire, then I will be a giver. And what God says, no, wherever you are right now, you can be a giver, because I'll supply your need right now. Do you realize you don't have to have the right number that God can supply your needs? You understand that? Do you realize a ticket doesn't mean whether you win or lose, that you being a blessing to others does not ride upon some lucky number? Do you understand that? It is a God in heaven who's in control of your life, who wants you to be a good steward, who has a plan how you meet the needs of the church, missions, people in need. And he says, if you have that heart, I'll make sure that you get the money. And that's what he promised. And so don't wait for your boat to come in. Don't wait to make it, you know, get rich somehow. God said, look, if you want to do, that's why poor people can be the best givers. Kind of interesting, when Jesus talked about giving, didn't he talk about a woman who gave the widow's mite? And he honors her. She didn't say, well, you know, when I get more money, when I hit the lotto, no, she gave what she had. And God blessed her. You look at the people that God honored for giving, it was people that gave a little bit of amount because that's all they had. And God blessed in a wonderful way. And so, this is the biblical principle. Now, lastly, I want you to look at the promise. Look at verse number 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increaseth the fruits of your righteousness. Now, the word he is God. God ministers seed to the... Who's the sower? We're the sower. Where do we get the seed from? We get it from God. Remember, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So what God says is, if you want more seed, I can supply you more seed. So that when you sow, you're sowing more, and you what? You reap more. More fruits from your righteousness. He said, do you want more blessings? Then you pray. Listen, here's a novel idea. Have you ever prayed for God to give you more so that you can give more? Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? At the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives an illustration about a guy who goes and knocks at the door of his friend. Remember that? And the guy's in bed and he says, don't bother me, I'm in bed. And the guy kept knocking. Who did he need the bread for himself? No, for somebody else. But he kept asking, not for himself, but what? For somebody else. Could the Lord be telling us that maybe if we kept asking, not for ourselves all the time, but for somebody else, that the bread would come? Did the guy get the bread? Oh, yeah. Was he able to give it to his friend? Yeah. Maybe if we prayed as hard for the needs of others as we do for our needs, maybe God would supply more needs. But we look at our checkbook and say, well, you can't do it. You can't do it. And you didn't even ask God. You didn't even ask the one who owns all the seed. Could you give me more seed, Lord? Because I got somebody out here who needs some seed. And I'm going to plant a lot of seed. I'll get it back, but I'm going to plant some. And so, the principle then, he enriches the giver. Several things. So he will both supply and multiply your seed for sowing. He will increase the harvest of righteousness. And so the cycle starts. You pray, God gives. You plant, God gives back. And you're enriched in order so that you might be generous. It's a shovel principle. It goes something like this. I shovel it out, and God shovels it back to me. But God's shovel is bigger than my shovel. And so, three things will happen to you when you give. Number one, according to these verses, the one who receives is blessed. Notice what it says in verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So I get from God. I give out. So the person that gets it, he's blessed. The missionary's blessed. The church is blessed. Souls are blessed. So there's a blessing from others. So they're blessed. And then secondly, I'm blessed because I get to be a part of it and God gives it back to me then. And then thirdly, God is glorified because you know what? The person who got it is saying thank you. And we're saying thank you to God and God's getting the glory. Isn't that a great way to live? Isn't that the abundant life? That every day I get up and I say, Lord, how do you want me to be a blessing today? Lord, I need some seed. Because I'm going to go out there and cast that. I'm not hoarding my seed. I'm not keeping it in a barn. I'm out there planting the seed. And Lord, the more that you give me, the more that I want to plant it. And the more that I plant, I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. And I know you're going to return it back to me and I'll just keep the cycle going. Man, that's an exciting way to live. And so, abundant living is sowing abundantly. Looking for opportunities to give. Watching for the harvest and watching as God supplies a need so that you can give more and so that God can give back and continue the cycle. I hope this morning that this biblical principle will resonate in your mind. And next time that there's an opportunity, the verse will come to your mind. But he that soweth sparingly shall reap also what? sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So you determine, you decide, what do you want? Sparingly or bountifully, it's up to you. But if you want the abundant life, it has to be bountifully. Let's bow for a word of prayer.